Drew, whenever you're ready. I'm ready. Kimberly's ready. Jasper's ready.
Bonzo. Jasper's not ready because Jasper's not here. I'm in the office.
Oh, right. Oops. Sorry.
Oops. Hi, I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense even when we don't have Jasper around because I'm in the office. Apologies.
When one of us is in the office. I'm Kyle Rosendahl. Thank you for joining us on this Friday afternoon for Economics on Tap. Whether you're on the YouTube live stream, listening to the podcast, I guess we're doing Discord too, although I don't have that up. We got everything going on is what we do.
Yeah, and we have some news. We're going to play some half full, half empty coming up. But first, Kai, what are you drinking?
We'll do drinks. So I'm doing a standard beer. It's a Firestone Brewing Mind Haze IPA. But more to the point, also, why do I look so big on that YouTube video? Yeah, sorry about that.
This is why I just glanced at myself.
That's why you don't look at the video. That's why you don't look at the video. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So that's what I'm drinking, plus a special treat here in about 30 seconds after you tell me what you're drinking.
I, of course, am drinking a mint julep, as I said I would be yesterday. I made my mint simple syrup this morning for this particular occasion, and so I've got my mint simple syrup, I've got my bourbon, and more bourbon, and mint. And for
Can
those
I just
who
tell
are
you
watching...
How much...
go
yeah,
ahead.
Go ahead. No, you describe the
for those who are watching on the YouTube live stream, I am wearing my Derby hat because the Kentucky Derby is this weekend. And so, as some have correctly identified in the YouTube chat, it is a fascinator, not a typical hat, and it is large.
It is very large. My favorite part of this, though, is that it goes with the headphones. The headphones fit. And now that, you know, we had this whole conversation yesterday about you wearing a fascinator or a hat. And clearly you had to wear the fascinator because how else were you going to wear the headphones if you had a hat on? So
I would have
excellent
found a
practicality
way.
There. Excellent. Yeah, you would have. Excellent practicality there. There you go. Anyway, here is the surprise of the day beside Kimberly's hat. The new swag for fundraising, which we're about to regale you with. Hang on.
Sorry.
I'm on a little bit of a delay here on the YouTube. There it goes. Yes. All right. Good. So the new Kai PA glass, it's a new design. It's a new logo. It says drink good beer, which you can't see because it's right at the foam line. But anyway, thank you gifts are what this is all about. You can get one of each. And I'm about to explain the each here in a minute. Kimberly will explain the other part of it for a gift of $17 a month. It's marketplace.org/givesmart. And Kimberly, you don't have anything to show and tell, but you can tell a little
Not
bit,
yet.
I suppose.
Not yet. The other gift that you can either get on its own or in partnership with the Kai PA glass is the Jasper-themed wine tumbler. It's super cute. It's like navy blue, and it says, make me smile on it, and then it has a little picture of Jasper, and it looks astonishingly like him, considering it's a graphic representation. He's like making his little pleading face, like, please give me treats, or please give me donations to Marketplace so that we can keep doing Make Me Smart, and I can keep making cameos on the bed in the background when Kimberly's not in the office. Anywho, we have already raised $24,383 of the $60,000 match that we have from Tim Ranzetta and NextGen Personal Finance. This goes towards all our financial literacy programs like Million Bazillion, which is so much fun. And if you can help us reach that match, if you give us you can help us reach that match if you give through the weekend. So please and thank you. We'd be very grateful. And you can get the good swag.
Which is what it's all about. Marketplace.org/givesmart. And we appreciate anything you can do. All right. News? News.
Yes. News.
News.
Yes.
Okay. News. So I'm going to go first. And I believe I have recounted before on this particular podcast my distress about journalists who, in the course of reporting for books that they are writing, withhold critical information to the citizenry from the citizenry so that they can let it out when the book comes. And the most recent example are the two reporters from the New York Times who have written a new book called This Shall Not Pass? Shall Not Pass, right? Anyway, about the events of January the 6th. And all kinds of stuff has come out in the lead up to the release of that book, which it would have been really nice to know at the moment. So there's a new book out from the former Secretary of Defense, right? His name is Mark Esper. The book is out, I believe, today. Maggie Haberman from the New York Times got a copy of it yesterday or a couple of days ago and has written an article about what is contained in the book, including, I can't even believe this, including a revelation that Trump once discussed with the Secretary of Defense launching missiles into Mexico to destroy drug labs there. Now, nothing that the former president proposed surprises me anymore. It truly doesn't, which is a commentary and probably a podcast all of its own. But here's the thing. Mark Esper, he's not some journalist who operates on an independent and unwritten but very clear code of ethics, right? Mark Esper swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States. Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic, right? It's the same oath, in point of fact, that commissioned officers swear when they take their commission as a member
that
of the armed
swore.
Forces. That I swore. I don't understand how Esper can, in good conscience, keep that information from the public at the time and instead hold it for a book. I literally don't understand. I mean, yes, I understand the profit motive, but it's just, it's dishonorable. And that just dismays me. I can't even tell you. That's it.
I really, you know, people like to talk about D.C. being so swampy and everybody, you know, sort of knowing each other, wink, wink, nod, nod, and, you know, journalists hanging out with government officials and access journalism and stuff. And look, I definitely know some people who work in government. A lot of our former sources on Marketplace now work in government. And so you definitely do, you know, have relationships with the people in these positions of power. But I kind of wonder what happens to you that you get to a place where all of these things just go out the window and somehow you make it okay in your head that it's worth anything to withhold such pivotal information in order to make a personal profit. It goes against certainly everything I thought journalism was about, and I'm pretty sure everything you thought service was about. And it's really disheartening. And, you know, maybe we'll find out that Esper was also working behind the scenes and shut it down and was doing all kinds of things. But still.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my news of the day. It's really bugging me. It's really bugging me.
As it should.
All right.
I'll be interesting to see how these books sell. You know, like, Sandy in the chat brought up the Overton window, which is so key. People talk about the Overton window moving. There ain't no window anymore. It's just a big, wide open view onto everything. So the Overton window is this concept in political science that there is this range of acceptable behavior and views. And what is considered the norm fits in this window. And that window can shift and expand and contract depending on what's going on in politics, in media, and in the social life. And so when people talk about that Overton window moving, you know, I struggle to believe that the Overton window within journalism would have permitted this. I don't know when, at some point. But the other thing that's worth noting is that not everybody can do this. Not everybody can do this. If certain people in journalism put out these books, they would not have jobs anymore for withholding information like that from the people paying them to report the news. And so,
well, you know, it's funny.
There's that too.
Yeah. So, Maggie Haberman, who wrote this article on Esper's book because she got a copy. Maggie Haberman covered Trump for the New York Times, is writing a book about Trump for the New York Times. And one does wonder what's going to be in that book when it comes out. You know?
Okay. Anyway, we're going to just like wind ourselves up in more anger. So my news is extremely light and fluffy, but it just left me with a big smile. And since we don't have a make me smile today because of half full, half empty, I'm just putting it in as my news fix because it brought me great joy. So this year is the 40th anniversary of the Broadway version of Little Shop of Horrors. are familiar with this. Shop of yes, horrors, thank God. God bless. Thank you.
Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. Come on. There you go.
Okay.
Yes, that's me singing on the phone.
So, NPR did one of their Tiny Desk at Home concerts with the cast of the off-Broadway revival of Little Shop of Horrors, and it is a joy to watch. Yeah. It's so much fun. And so I definitely watched that. And then I was texting my mother because I have this powerful memory from my youth of we did a lot of dance classes when I was little. And so we had all these performances. And I'm talking me, my brother, my sisters, all of us. There was one dance recital where my mom dressed up as Audrey II. And my sister and I, she was older than me. But anyway, the two little ones, myself included, were little baby Audrey IIs. My brother was Seymour. And my sister, the one who's in the chat, and several other people from our dance classes were like the arms of Audrey II. And it was this whole performance. And it's burned. It was the Mean Green Mother from Outer Space song from Little Shop of Horrors.
Wow.
And it's burned into my memory. And I was texting my mom today. I was like, do you have any pictures? She's like, no. And I was like, how old was I for that? And she was like, 3 or 4. And I was like, what? You know, some things are just like so in your memory. He's skeptical. And you're like, are you sure you don't have a manufactured memory?
No, not at all. It's so interesting because you know, between this and the Fascinator and all this, you have an unabashed family history of dressing up and enjoying stuff. And me, being the repressed Norwegian that I am, I have no such family history. And it's just really interesting to me.
I think my niece and nephew have taken over my sister's chat on the YouTube.
That's so funny. Oh, Auntie Kim. Oh, yeah, look at that. Hi, Auntie Kim. We love you.
Love you, that's too. Funny. Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. With that bit of joy and fun, let's play a game. Okay, it's time for Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by our very own Drew Jostad. And take it away, Drew.
All right, first topic is, are you half full or half empty on people using buy now, pay later for travel expenses?
Half empty.
Wow. I don't know the story at all, but that seems not wise. Half empty. Boom.
All right, let me actually take that back and think about it. So these buy now, pay later options that, you know, have been growing in popularity allow you to pay for things in installments. And I wonder how different it is to pay on an installment basis for travel versus putting it on a credit card. And it depends on the interest rate, I guess, and whether or not you can afford the payments. Like, is it any different or worse? But still, debt financing travel is probably not great.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's one thing if you need a and this is not why people use buy now, pay later, right? But if you need a fridge or some other capital good, you got to get it, that's fine. Travel, I don't know. It just seems unwise.
Jody Pritchard says in the chat that she's empty. Vacations are expensive. My wife and I started a vacation fund years ago, and it's a lot more enjoyable when it's already paid for.
Yeah, that's totally true. Totally true. Yep.
All right, what's next?
Okay. All right. James Corden has announced he's leaving the Late Show. Are you half full or half empty on his potential successor?
I have a thought.
Go for it.
I have a thought. Well, it's a great opportunity for a network to put a woman of color in there, right? And expand the demographics of late night. Because Samantha Bee is great, but she's just one Samantha Bee. And I think it's a great opportunity. So if they do it right, have full. Otherwise, meh.
I'm never up that late, but I do believe there is a woman of color on late night who's... Okay, well, that's not true. I am up that late. But I'm not up late watching TV. Like, looking at the internet and browsing.
What's her name?
Instagram, etc. Twitter, unfortunately. But there is a woman of color who is on late night whose name escapes me.
Right.
But... there is at least one.
Yeah.
One is not enough. And yeah, that would be cool. Amber Ruffin, the YouTube chat tells me. Amber Ruffin. So
okay,
that is the person. I'm going to go half full because James Corden is great. I love watching his little clips, especially the carpool karaoke and stuff and the crosswalk concerts. So much fun. Mm-hmm. But I think anytime that there's space for someone to try something new, I want to wish them well and hope for the best. And hopefully they don't go Jeopardy in the selection process.
What Kimberly said. I'm there.
Okay.
All right. Something completely different, and you can take this any way you want. Are you half full or half empty on this week's rate hike?
I guess I'm... Well, no, look. Wait, hang on. I'm actually all the way full because inflation is a plague on this country right now at you know, 6.6% for the headline PCE. So, yeah, I'm absolutely half full. Holy cow. I wonder why I had to think that through.
Half full, just because
she says tentatively.
I know, just because of all the things that we've talked about, you know, we know that the economic expansion still has not reached everyone. Black unemployment, as we just discussed on Tuesday, is still double the white unemployment rate. And we know that raising interest rates is probably going to put a pause or slow down economic growth. And I wonder how that's going to affect the most vulnerable who still haven't benefited from this recovery. So, but at the same time, I know people are really struggling with food and energy prices and housing prices and rent and everything. So half empty on that still.
All right. Fair.
And just to go back to the last one with James Corden, a lot of people in the chat are also bringing up Lily Singh as another late night host. Okay.
Okay. It looks like there is a spike in coin collecting recently. Are you half full or half empty on a comeback for numismatics?
Sure.
Half
coins
full.
Are cool. I'm half full. Sure. Sure.
Half full. I think it's a fun thing. And, you know, of the hobbies one can have, it's harmless. Let's do it.
There you go. I'm with that. I'm down with that.
Last topic, are you half full or half empty on Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day?
As long as they don't push buttons.
Sorry, just thinking this through. Wasn't there like some NPR dead air about like 6 or 8 years ago where somebody
it was take your daughter or son to work today
and somebody pushed a button in control room and it like turned everything off for 30 seconds or whatever? Am I misremembering that?
No, that really happened. But I'm half full on take your child to work day, shall we say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I think it's good.
Let's make it a little more inclusive.
It ain't all childs. There we go. Good. Boom. Boom. On a Friday.
Are those crickets in the background, or is it?
You know, it's really funny. They're actually inside the shed, so I could close the door, but it wouldn't make a difference. Yes, they are crickets. Yes. Sorry. Sorry.
I have to wait until you say something that you want to be funny and then just sit silently so that you actually just hear
and let the crickets go. Thank you very much. Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Okay. That is it for us for today. We will be back next week. Our Tuesday deep dive is going to be about something we've mentioned kind of in passing on this podcast a couple of times now, but I think I could certainly benefit being smarter about it, and hopefully you all will too. Title 42, which is a part of the U.S. public health code that the government has been using to restrict immigration during the public health emergency of COVID. If you have questions about Title 42, how it's been used, the fact that the Biden administration tried to end it and is getting all this pushback, any and all questions about that, please send those questions to us.
Yeah, and you can do it with a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message, 508-827-6278. That is 508-UB-SMART, and we'll get it, and we'll get it on the pod, and it will inform the conversation that we are going to have Tuesday about Title 42.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, who, for the record, likes my hat. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. Our senior producer is Bridget Butner.
You wear a hat well, honestly. You really do. I do not actually think that I wear a hat well. I would love to be able to wear a hat well, but I don't.
The team
behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion. Yeah, I should, but have I mentioned I'm a repressed Norwegian? Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune do our Friday games. Theme music was written by Drew Jostad, the director of On Demand, who's probably saying right now, Kai, shut up. He's Donatan. Shut up, Kai, shut up. Too much sharing.
She's enjoying you on the big screen.
On the big screen, right? God.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.